Friends, it's such a joy to stand before you this morning. I always like to begin our messages or the messages that I share with something humorous as it relates to the text. And I came across this quote, this joke, really, and I hope that you will find it humorous and funny. I'm going to be ministering this morning from the thought, waking to God's dream. Waking to God's dream. Do you have your worship bulletin covers? If you see this man standing like this and he is blessed by this wonderful sunset, in a sense, he is being aware, he's waking, in a sense, the sunset. John Webster does an excellent job. All we do with John is just give him a text and a title, and he'll take it to the next level. And that's why you see that beautiful image of waking, in a sense, to God's dream. And I hope that you will wake up to the fullness and the reality of God's vision, mission, and dream for your lives. But anyway, listen to this joke here. After she woke up, a woman told her husband, "I just had a dream that you gave me the most beautiful, beautiful diamond necklace. What do you think it means?" "Well, sweetie, you'll know tonight," he said with a smile. The woman could hardly think of anything else all day long, and she couldn't wait for her husband to return home. That evening, the man finally came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. Delighted, she opened it excitedly to find a book entitled "The Meaning of Dreams." The meaning of dreams. I just thought that that was so cute. Please don't get no ideas. But anyway, the meaning of dreams. The meaning of dreams. Speaking of dreams, Jim Gray asked LeBron James, if you haven't heard all of the hype this week regarding LeBron James, "When did you know that this move was right for you?" And LeBron responded, "I saw it in my dreams that I would be more happy with the Miami Heat." He saw it in his dream. So once again, I'm ministering from the thought, waking to God's dream. Can we bring up the text now from the book of Acts, verses 1 through 9? Let me share it with you. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Let us at this time go to the Lord in prayer. "Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our radical redeemer. Move me out of the way. Speak to me, through me, and for me. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen." Once again, friends, waking to God's dream. Waking to God's dream. Let me share with you from the book of Isaiah 43, the NIV translation, something that is very related to this sermon. It reads, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." Somebody say, "A new thing." "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." How many of you watch the Food Channel Network? Where Emeril will say when he's cooking, "Hey, let's take it up a couple of notches." I want to take it up a couple of notches by sharing with you Eugene Peterson's translation from the Message Bible. Listen again to this. "Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say, 'Thank you,' the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. Isn't that beautiful? This is the Eugene Peterson's translation from the Message Bible. Friends, let me share with you the significance and premise of today's message. It is extremely important for you to be aware of God's will, purpose, and vision for your life. Amen, church? It's extremely important for you to be aware of God's will, purpose, and vision for your life. Because if you aren't aware of God's will, purpose, and vision for your life, you run the risk of living a life that God hasn't really intended for you to live. You run the risk of suffering consequences that were not intended for you to suffer. You also run the risk of missing out on some life-changing blessings that can take you from the valley low all the way to the mountain top. From wanting the abundant life to actually receiving and living the abundant life. And by the way, God is good for the abundant life. Can I tell you about it? He's good for the abundant life and bountiful blessings. He wants to bless us afresh and anew. Listen at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20. It says, "For God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever ask or think." Think about that a minute. That God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. Do you believe that this morning? That God is an awesome God. I like to say that we serve an unlimited God. There is no failure in God. God's eyes are not prejudiced or partial. God's eyes are not fictitious or fabricated. God's eyes do not pretend or forsake. God's eyes do not gloss over or glamorize the truth. God's eyes are clear and conscious, certain and not pretentious, gracious and even goal-oriented. In other words, he sees the big picture. God's eyes see what his word has already said. God's eyes believes and hopes and endures and perseveres. God's eyes love. And this is why, my friends, we must wake up to God's dream. God's dream. You may not be aware of it, but God has a divine dream unfolding in your lives. A divine dream just unfolding in your lives. This divine dream can be perceived as God's preferred future. I know you have a future in mind, but God has a preferred future for you. By the way, you look good right now, but according to God's dream, you look a whole lot better in the future. Amen, church? God's preferred future for you. John C. Maxwell talks a little bit about these God-sized dreams in his book, Put Your Dreams to the Test. Listen carefully to what he says. He says, "This kind of dream is an inspiring picture of the future, and it energizes your mind. It energizes your will. It energizes your inner emotions. It also empowers you to do everything you can to achieve it." We're talking about God-sized dreams. And the key here is the more awake we are, the more of it we'll experience. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says it this way, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." Plans to give you a future and a hope. God has a preferred future just for you. Now, friends, if you're serious about figuring out and receiving the fullness of God's dream for your life, I dare you this morning, as you leave here, ask God two questions. Two simple questions. The first question is, "God, what's your dream for my life?" Easy, right? Very simple question. God, what's your dream for my life? And the second question, what can I do to make your dream come true? Amen? What's your dream for my life? And what can I do to make your dream come true? Perhaps Jonathan Bale, a director of missions from Kansas, asked this question and received his answer. He had this burning quest in his heart. He said to himself, I want to expand ministry beyond the four walls of the church and he became aware of this dream. Listen at this article that he wrote, The Evolution of the Idea. Where are you on Saturday mornings, he asks. If you're like many of us, you're enjoying your coffee at the breakfast table, luxuriating in a much needed day off, or you're taxiing kids to soccer practice, or getting a jump on that list of errands. But if you're a member of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, you might be putting the finishing touches on the lunch you'll serve at a local soup kitchen. Or you might be spending a few hours decorating cookies with kids at an urban children's home. Or you might even be providing companionship to an HIV patient if you're a faith work volunteer at Church of the Resurrection. Thank God for Jonathan Bale, who finally woke up to God's dream. He woke up to God's dream. But the question this morning is, what about you? Are you aware of the mission, vision, will, and purpose that God has for your life? Are you aware regarding God's agenda for your life? Friends, at this time, I want to take you back to the text in the book of Acts and just read for you the story, if I can just reiterate. Who is Saul? Saul was a Pharisee, hated Christians, opposed everything that Christians stood for. He was a staunch person in the things of the law. Saul went to the high priest of the church and got permission, got authority letters to persecute and execute Christians. Just to paint a quick picture of Saul before you, Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death. Do you all remember the innocent man of God, full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, who stood for God? And as Stephen was standing for God, Saul approved man taking stones and actually stoning him to death, executing Stephen. History teaches that Saul stood right beside these men as they were killing Stephen and held their cloaks, approving Stephen's death. Saul was so vicious, he would get letters to enter foreign countries just to persecute and execute Christians, followers of the way. So Saul was vicious. He was determined to execute Christians. Paul was persistent and determined in that. And so the Lord meets him on the Damascus Road. He meets him, and all of a sudden there's this bright light, and Saul falls to the ground, and the Lord begins to speak to him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In other words, why are you hindering the progress of the church? Why are you hindering the unfolding of God's dream? And Saul responds, well, Lord, who are you? And Jesus identifies himself. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now, friends, when I was studying this, I came across this analogy of a dam, of a floodgate. How many of you realize what a dam or a floodgate is? A dam restricts and holds the flow of water back. It keeps it from flowing. So what I gather from this passage is that we can position ourselves within God's dream as either a dam or a conduit. We could be a channel, a river, if you will, carrying the flow and the blessings of God to others in our lives. Amen? In other words, we can participate in the currency and the flow of God's will and vision, in the flow of God's dream for our lives. Well, Paul was positioned himself as a floodgate. He tried to hinder the things of God. He was ignorant. He was foolish because he was going against the grain of God's dream. What about you? Are you going against the grain of God's dream? Are you hindering the ministry that God is trying to birth through your life? Are you missing the mark as it relates to God's mission and vision for your local community? Are you a conduit, a channel that carries the flow and the blessing of God? Or are you a dam, a floodgate that blocks the blessings from reaching others? It's good news in this passage because God lays upon Ananias to approach Saul. And Ananias was terrified. He was afraid because he heard of all the murderous threats. He became fearful. And the Lord just simply told him in verse 15, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus as you were coming here, sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could catch this, "See again." He was finally awake and aware of God's vision and dream. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Catch this, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. What just happened? Ananias woke up to God's dream by being obedient to the leading of the Spirit. Paul woke up to God's dream. No longer is he an avenger of the church, he is now an adorer of the church. It's something about God's dream that is just so transforming and powerful. Saul's name changed from Saul to Paul. Abram changed from Abram to Abraham. Sarah changed to Sarah. It's something amazing about God's dream. And friends, the question once again is, are you open and available to God's dream? Speaking of being open and available, I shared this a few weeks ago within the Friday night service that I went to a local grocery store in a rush trying to get some goodies for a meeting here, some cookies, etc. Well, you don't need to know all the details. But anyway, I was in a rush trying to get there and was trying to quickly get out of the line, walked up to where you would go in line, and there were four clerks. One was doodling with her headphones like an iPod. The other was playing on the cell phone. Somebody else was just gazing into outer space. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And I was there just patting my feet. And finally, one motioned to me. And that planted a seed in me. The store was open. The lines were open. But they were not available. They were open. They were aware of their responsibility, but they were not participating. They were not serving. They were open, but not available. And the question this morning, as it relates to the unfolding of God's dream, is, are we open, aware of the gospel, aware of the mission and vision, but not available to serve in it? If it pinches you, just say, ouch. Are you available to the flow of God's dream? Every now and then, friends, we need agitation. We need a Damascus disturbance to wake us up and to remind us, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Are you open and available to God's dream? Friends, I want to just leave you with this closing thought. Disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord. Written by Sir Francis Drake, 1577. Listen carefully to this powerful piece. Disturb us, Lord. When we are all too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Disturb us, love. Disturb us, Lord. Do you receive it today? I encourage you to receive the unfolding of God's dream. There may be someone here this morning who wants a name change. Saul was transformed into Paul, and perhaps you need a transformation as well. I want to open the doors of the church now before WSU comes with their final selection and offer you Christ. If there is someone here today, I'll meet you at this offer and receive you into the life of the church. At this time, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the unfolding and the power of your dream. We pray now for faith to take that step and to follow you in obedience. Whatever you ask us to do, Lord, give us the heart and the mind to follow you in obedience. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, What's your dream for our lives? What can we do to make it come true? In your name we pray. Amen.